To whom will you liken me? Or who will be my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. He brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, or complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow weary or tired. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. Even youths go weary and tired, and young men stumble badly. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. Good morning. Let's gather back and continue in worship with a time of prayer. Creator of the stars and thunder, with wind and rain in your control, we stand in awe and pause in wonder, for we are yours. Please make us whole. Dear God, we are far from whole today. We need your help in so many ways. Please continue to guide Session as they seek to find the pastor of your choosing to serve us in this interim period. We thank you for the hopeful leads that they are pursuing. We have many who are suffering from health issues. We pray for Jane Lockram, who is having her fourth surgery on her back since her fall this June. We pray for Grace Cox, who suffered her second stroke. We pray for Carol McCune, who has pneumonia. We pray for Mary Jo Yee, who suffered a heart attack. For these and other health issues, Lord, we pray for your healing touch. Give wisdom to the doctors who are caring for them. We thank you for Pastor Kim, that she's recovering well after the fall from her horse. Please continue to heal her. And Lord, we have other requests, not anymore for health and healing, but now for comfort to the family. Though grief should block the rays of sun, though sorrow darkens black as coal, we know your Spirit's just begun to heal and lovingly console. Lord, we grieve the passing of Ruth Coop and ask that you comfort her son, Michael. And we also grieve the passing of Cheryl Pasquinelli and pray that you comfort her entire family. Thank you for the assurance of the resurrection that we have in the work of Jesus Christ, that you have set apart Ruth and Cheryl and called them to yourself. For when our loved ones' days are finished and we entrust to you their soul, may praise to you not be diminished, for you wrote their names in your scroll. Dear God, we want to thank you that you are here in our midst. We thank you that you have never left us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who saves us from sin, who gives us new life, who restores to us our hope, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning. Thank you. For those of you who were still sunning on a beach during Labor Day or on vacation, this is part two of my chapel presentation. I call it chapel presentation because I've had 30 years experience doing chapel and like zero of doing a sermon. So this is a chapel presentation and it's meant to be interactive. So I need responses from you. Last time I would have given you a B minus. So we're going to really work on getting that up to an A this time. So for example, let's review. What if you were here last time, if you can remember any of the five that I presented first. This is my top 10. I presented five on Labor Day, and this is the last five. But how about the first five? Anybody remember? I'll give you a hint. The first one was a guy. Okay, hold on to that one. The first one was a guy. Simple song. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know by, anybody remember the name? Carl Barth. Good. Carl Barth. Yes. Just a very simple, I mean, we knew that from preschool, right? And yet, that's a truth that we forget so often, that Jesus loves me. Second one was a woman, a mother. Mother Teresa, thank you. Remember, Mother Teresa said she can see Jesus in each person's eyes. Each one is Jesus in disguise. Did anybody celebrate the Mother Teresa Fest or feast on that Wednesday? Oh, nice. Thank you. I remember that one every time I see a homeless person. I just have to remind myself, Jesus is in their eyes. That, and the Bible says, sometimes we have entertained angels unawares. That homeless person might be an angel. Third one. Oh, the third one was three people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, when they were in the fiery furnace, they said, our God can save us, but even if he chooses not to, we will still worship the Lord. So that's my truth that I got to remember, that God can do anything, but even if he chooses not to, he's got a plan. I got to trust that one. So that's the first three. How about number four? Another one from the Old Testament. Did y'all fall asleep on number four? No, not David. Starts with a J. Joseph. Joseph. Remember all of the trials and tribulations he went through. But if he looked at it and said, God can use all things for good for those who are called according to his purposes. So if we, no matter what happens to us, if we don't give up and just think of, okay, God, you're going to use this for good somehow, some way, I don't know, but I give it to you. And the last one, somebody already said it, and I said, hold on to him. She said she forgot. It was the hardest one because he's little known. Thomas. Imitation of Christ. Thomas A. Kempis, The Imitation of Christ. In his book, he said, if you have Jesus, you are rich and have enough. So I thought that was very important to remember, especially in our valley. So that brings us to the next five. And I'm going to ask for, I'll give you hints. I brought little things this time to, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. That's like sacrilegious, isn't it? Can I put it here? I brought little hints to try to see if you can't figure out who this might be. Aslan, so who would the person be? C.S. Lewis. And then, since I have this, I better give this to my granddaughter. Yes, C.S. Lewis, which I just had to look up. Anybody know what C.S. stands for?
Clive Staples.
Clive Staples. Yeah, I'd go by C.S. Lewis. C.S. too.
Yeah,
by
Jack,
that's right. That's right. He even has some books called Jack. So C.S. Lewis was a very famous professor at both Oxford and Cambridge University, and he was the chair of the literary department. He also had a literary club with J.R. Tolkien and some other famous authors, and they met in a pub. And I was thinking, wow, I got to move my book club to a pub now. That's, you know, there's precedence for that now. He sold over 30, he wrote over 30 books and sold over 100 million copies. Probably the most well-known, besides Mere Christianity and The Great Divorce, are his Chronicles of Narnia. Okay, here's a challenging question, and you can't answer. What is the first book in the Chronicles of Narnia? It's a trick question, because you want to yell out one book.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
No, it's not The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's book number two. Magician's Nephew. Well done. Okay, you guys are bumping up to a B. Come on, we need a B plus now. The Magician's Nephew is the first one, and it's fabulous. People skip that one and go straight to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But The Magician's Nephew tells about how Narnia was created and how this professor that we see in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe got his start. And it's the professor who says, to the kids. Logic. Logic. What are they teaching these kids in school these days? Logic. Because C.S. Lewis has this phrase called the liar, lunatic, or lord. And that's the phrase that I have to try to remember. C.S. Lewis said there's only three responses that you can have about Jesus Christ. Either he is a liar. The things he said in the Bible are so crazy and he's a liar. Or he's a lunatic. He's a crazy man. Or what he said is true and he's Lord. He has to be Lord of your life. There's no other option. C.S. Lewis says you can't say that he was just a good moral teacher. He did not leave that option open to us from the words that he said. So logically, thinking it through, I put that whole quote on there. It's like three slides. I'll give you a second to read it. But that's what I try to remember is liar, lunatic, and Lord. And as Pilate said, the Jewish people came to Pilate and said, what are you going to do with this Jesus of Nazareth? And that's everybody's response. What are we going to do with this Jesus? Either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he needs to be Lord of your life. So C.S. Lewis. Now, I don't have a good prop for this one. I just have one word. Crusades. Crusades. Thank you. Oh, back row. You're awake now. Billy Graham. Yes. Billy Graham. Billy Graham, who just recently passed away this February, was a spiritual advisor to 11 presidents and many, many world leaders. He tried to stay apolitical, although he was a Democrat, I've found out on the website. He also led 400 crusades, what he decided to call crusades, tent meetings, revivals, to tell people the good news about Jesus. More than 2.5 million people accepted Jesus through his crusades. And of course, more than that heard his crusades. Mike was just telling me probably like 20 million to 30 million people heard his sermons that he preached. Billy is a beloved figure in our house because it was at a crusade that my husband's whole entire family, his mom and his brothers and his sister, all became Christians there. And it was the crusade in Oakland Coliseum that he actually sold out Oakland Coliseum for 2 days. Not even the A's or the Raiders can do that. In the late 90s, I think it was, that Emily became a Christian at. Sarah and I were camp converts. But the Billy Graham, fabulous man of faith, and his quote that I try to live by is... Go ahead, Dave. It's my job to love, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and God's job to judge. That one takes so much pressure off of me. I don't know about you guys, but about 4 years ago, we had a big debate, and all of these things are being bombarded at us, and I just had to say, Lord, I can't judge. I can't convict anybody. It's just my job to love people. So we're going to go just with that simple phrase of it's my job to love. Billy Graham. Thank you, Billy. Oh, and when Billy died, he was the fourth private citizen to be honored in the Capitol Rotunda. It was called lying in honor, not in state, because he wasn't a politician, but in honor. So my extra credit this time is who were the first three to lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda building? Speaking of, did anybody do the extra credit last time? Find out who Thomas A. Kempis said you had, Sir Thomas More said you had to have three books in your house. One was The Imitation of Christ. Nobody figure that one out? The other would be the Bible, but we couldn't figure out what that third one was. Oh, so nobody got the Starbucks card, so it's up for the next one. Okay, I don't know that you're, from my little costume here, that you're going to get this third one, but obviously she's a lady, and she's not really a colonial lady, but I just thought this fit. But I will give you another hint. Martha. The hiding place. Corrie Ten Boom, yes. Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie was born in the Netherlands. This has to go. And her father was a watchmaker. And actually, Corrie became a watchmaker. She was the first woman watchmaker who had a business at that time in the Netherlands. But her dad said, the Israelites, the Jewish people, are chosen, are God's chosen people, and it's our job to protect them in any way we can. So when the Nazis invaded, the Jewish people started to come to Corrie's house, and he would help them. Matter of fact, Corrie went to one of the distributors of the ration cards, and she said, he said, well, how many ration cards do you need? And she said, I was going to tell him five. I was just going to say five, but out of my mouth came 100. And so he gave her 100 ration cards. And that was actually the downfall, because they did not, when the Nazis were tipped off by a sympathizer, a Danish sympathizer, they did not find the six people that were hiding in their house, but they did find all those ration cards and sent the entire family to concentration camps. Dad died 10 days later. Mom had already passed, but Corrie and her sister were sent to a women's concentration camp where her sister died. A week later, Corrie is released due to a clerical error, and a week after she was released, every woman of that age was sent to the gas chambers. While they were in the concentration camps, the guards were very cruel, very vicious. When, after the war, Corrie met two of those guards on one of her speaking tours, and she said the hardest thing she had to do was to reach out her hand and to forgive them. So she's really known for her forgiveness. But I really do love this quote that says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I think that's really important for us. I bet every generation says this, but it's really important for us in these times that we're able to trust our future to our known God. So Corrie Ten Boom. Okay. You know, every good teacher has to review. So C.S. Lewis, three words. Still at a B minus. Come on. C.S. Lewis.
Liar.
Very good. Thank you. Billy Graham.
Job is to love.
Our job is to love, right? And Corrie. Don't be afraid to give your unknown future to a known God. All right. Somebody actually guessed this one on my last five. But here's a hint. From the Old Testament, and it's the only book that doesn't mention God by name. So yes, it is Esther. Esther, the poor Israelite girl who lived with her uncle Mordecai, really should be Mordecai's picture up there, and Mordecai is the name up there because it was Mordecai who said this phrase, but it's Esther who lived it out. She, when King Xerxes banished his first wife, which we won't go into why. You should read that. It's very fascinating. He held a beauty pageant to get his next wife. And, of course, Esther won the beauty pageant. But all this time, Mordecai told her, keep your heritage quiet. Don't let people know who you are. But Mordecai, and even the relationship between Mordecai and Esther was not known, because Mordecai was a very devout Jewish man in exile. And he kept his faith and he kept his traditions, which of course caused problems. And people, the officials of Xerxes' government wanted to get rid of Mordecai. So they came up with this brilliant plan to go to the king and say, it's these Jewish people that are living in your community that are causing problems. We need a day where we can get rid of them. So Xerxes sets a day apart and says, in a week, you have free rein to get rid of your Jewish neighbors. Well, that's when Mordecai comes to Esther and says, it's your job now to try to get the king to change his mind. For who knows whether you didn't come into your royal position precisely for a time such as this. And of course, she did. She didn't know if when she would come to Xerxes, if he would extend the scepter to her. Because if he did not extend the scepter to her, she could not come unbidden. She would have been put to death to her own husband. Isn't that interesting? So she took the brave step and went to Xerxes, and he cannot, in the Medes and the Persians, you cannot undo a law, but he amended it to say whatever happens to the Jewish people can happen to the rest of the population the next week. So nobody died during that time because of Esther's bravery. So for such a time as this, those are beautiful words that I try to remember, that maybe God put me here for such a time as this. Whatever this may be, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever it is, for such a time as this. All right, and my last one. Uh-oh. I might have to keep Ruth on, or Esther on. My last one here's the clue. Scotland. It's the Scottish flag. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I could have done a ton on Eric Little. Next time. Why is this a flag of Scotland, and what is this white X? St. Andrew, exactly. Good job. So my next one is St. Andrew, who was known as the first. Andrew was a follower, a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he said to his disciples, there is the one that you should be following. And Andrew up and followed Jesus, and then brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Come on, you guys got to be faster than Becky. So he is also known as the first evangelist because he was the first person to bring someone to Jesus. He's mentioned three other times in the Bible. One is at the feeding of the multitude. It was Andrew who said to Jesus, well, there's all these people here and we have nothing except for this little boy who has loaves and fish. But what can you do with that? So it was Andrew who brought people to Jesus. It was also Andrew who brought a bunch of Greek followers to Jesus to ask him a question. But the story goes that after the resurrection, Peter went off to Rome and Andrew went down to Greece. And it was in Greece that Andrew was martyred. And they were going to put him on a cross. But Andrew said, I am not worthy to be killed the same way that Jesus was. So they made a cross for him in this fashion. And he was crucified on an X because he said he was not worthy. He is, as you know, the patron saint of Scotland and of Russia. And, oh, here's another day to celebrate there, Jeff. November 30th is St. Andrew's Day. It's actually a big day of celebration in Scotland. So you have your free rein to, I won't say to pull out the whiskey, but I'll just say to celebrate St. Andrew on November 30th. All right, we're back to review time. Come on, people. Are you with me?
Yep.
And I'm going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to start right here. Corey Ten Boom said, teacher's pet over here. Come on, you guys have to be faster. Trust your unknown future to a known God. Over here. Three words. Okay. St. Andrew, I'm not worthy. I think sometimes we feel, we should all feel that way. We're just not worthy. But Jesus died for our sins, so we do become worthy. How about this one? Esther, for such a time as this. And that leaves us with Billy. It's our job to love. Good job. Good job. B plus. All right. Here's your homework. Good teacher isn't going to get it. It has to give out homework. The book of Esther is, I think, 10 chapters long, 10 or 12. Very short, very interesting. Read how God is seen in the book of Esther, even though his name is never mentioned. Number two should be, write your own top 10 list. Think about the things that inspire you. Somebody mentioned Eric Little. There are so many past Christian people of faith that help us in our walk today that it's kind of important to think about what are the ones that inspire me. And, of course, your extra credit, somebody Googled it while I was talking.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I knew you would. All right, who are they? Right.
Rosa
Parks was the first.
And then after her were the two police officers that were killed protecting the Capitol.
Right.
But one of the police officers, Chester, was the first African American.
Ah.
Ever lying in on. Rosa was the second.
I thought the police officers were after Rosa.
No, they were before her. Same year, but just a little bit
before. Oh, same year. Okay. So Rosa Parks was the first. Oh, no. The two police officers and Rosa Parks were the three people who lied in honor in the Capitol building before Billy Graham. That's all I have. So let's say a prayer. Father God, we thank you for these people of faith. We thank you for inspirations that come to us from their lives, their challenges, and their words. Lord, help us to always show our love and leave the rest to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Sorry.
It's always rewarding and encouraging to hear from other people the things that encourage them, because often it's the same for us. I especially remember Even If and For Such a Time as This and some other things. So thank you very much.
So thank you for worshiping with us this morning. I do have a few announcements. Maybe you should just have a seat, because this might go on for a while. But it's been really inspiring to be here during this time of transition for us, that it seems like every Sunday God has shown up in a very real way and been there to guide us and inspire us. And so this Sunday, this morning, thank you, Karen, for allowing God to speak. I'd also like to ask to come up one of my favorite people in West Valley Presbyterian Church, Bob Brown. You want to come on up? I'd like to take some time this morning to talk to Bob. And Bob, you have anything you want to share with the class?
Oh, boy. Karen, thank you for giving me the lead in. Billy Graham said, it is our job to love. And you have done that to me and to June for many years, for which I am eternally grateful, beyond belief. And you have given us far more than we could ever imagine or give back. This is a tough day because I'm moving to Montana to be with two daughters and their families and five grandkids. So I think the daughters are looking for another person to mother, since their kids are getting a little older. But I'll be grateful to accept that love. So thank you for the blessings that you have given to me over these many years. You truly are living God's love. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's been wonderful worshiping with you and serving with you in various committees. Thank you so much. God bless you as you go. So check out the bulletin for future announcements, for other announcements going on in the life of this church. Karen, will you come and give the benediction?
Remember, it's our job to love, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and God's job to judge. So go out and love. Amen.